morning on today's show, we are going to discuss the dangers of illegal injections.
We did sort of a Botox and filler 101 subject in the past. And in that conversation, we did discuss how there are a lot of illegal injections happening. So now you want to dive much deeper into that aspect of this.
Good morning, everybody. This is actually something which is really, really very important to discuss because it's completely underrepresented in community and people are not aware what's going on. People think it's isolated incident if somebody dies on injections. And sometimes when I read it in the paper, it's actually not even presented in the paper in the way it should be presented. And why is that? Because people are not aware of the subject. It's not important. When we talk about illegal injections, people who are injecting, the injectors are illegal. Materials they are using, they should never be used in humans. They should never be used in anybody, and they're still being used. And we are talking about industrial silicone, which is represented as a biogel, or they give them a euphemism which is going to be very palatable for people to say, oh, sure, no problem. Somehow in our mind, when somebody said biological, we think, oh, it's great, it's for me because it's biological, but it's far from that. I call them illegal injections, but I can say lethal or life-changing. And I don't think people who are succumbed to it are stupid in any way. They are just tricked into it. And I see these patients being actually victims of injectors and then victims of society, which is pushing on us a certain look, which we think it's acceptable. It's kind of like a quick fix. Nobody knows. And I'm just going to leave from here looking like I want to look. But they don't know if they don't die during injections, they may have a slow death or a death of part of their body in the future. Hundreds, if not thousands of girls are getting injected with materials they should never be getting in their body.
And like you said earlier, it's not so much that people aren't doing the necessary research. Sometimes people are doing that research and truly believe that they've picked the right person using the right materials.
I will tell you how it goes. I deal with these patients. They come to me. I remove these materials and then reconstruct them afterwards. And I always leave for these patients at least 45 minutes for my consult. The reason for this is I really want to see all background. How did they really get into it? How did they get it? How much they get it? How many times they went back? And usually all stories are the same. Oh, this is my esthetician. I went there for something else. And she said, we all getting it. How about, would you be interested? You have a dimples on your buttock or whatever areas. It bothers you. Do you want to try? And you kind of think, is this safe? Oh, I have it. Nobody, no problems. And somehow we kind of trapped in it. And I think patients are trapped in it because they trust that person, or I'm your friend, I'm making a party, we're going to be like, it's just for 10, 15 of us, don't worry, it's safe. Yeah, it's not really kind of okay here, but people in other parts of the world are getting it, and you almost feel privileged to get it. You almost feel, oh, I'm getting something other people can't.
Oh, that's interesting.
And psychology of a humans is kind of tilted, oh, it's really great, you know, I'm privileged to have it and stuff like this. It is not free, obviously, you're going to pay, but you think, okay, this is, yeah, I want to have a little augmented my behind, but this doesn't really mean I'm going to go and have a surgery, and it's kind of, it's going to be quick fix for me, and I'll get what I want.
Right, people look at it as a very low-risk situation.
100%
yes.
Correct.
So what exactly is this illegal material that's used for the injections? You mentioned industrial silicone, but what are the words that we should be wary of when we ask our injectors, which you always say we always should, exactly what they're using?
Well, you may ask as many questions, those injectors. They will never tell you this is industrial silicone, because if they tell you this, like, people wouldn't do it. They would tell you it's biogel and stuff. You should never get anything injected in you, you know, obviously without knowing what is it. But you have to be very, very careful who is the person who's doing it. And I'll go back, why is this illegal and how it works? We do have medical silicone, which is FDA approved, to be used in only one and only one specific problem, medical problem, that ophthalmologists who are treating detachment of retina, they can use drops of that as a pins to put it back. This is, you can think about how small these amounts are. This is only FDA approval, but as far as I'm aware, they have to go back 6 to 8 months to retrieve it and take it out because these materials are very inflammatory. They can cause a lot of systemic problems to patients. And patients I meet, they usually come to me when they're realizing local problems they have, but they have a myriad of problems, systemic problems. They never really connect it or barely connect with these injected materials. I have a patient who ended up having spine surgery from low back pain, thinking that this disc is causing a problem, but actually the problem was silicone injected in patient's buttocks, and that was giving her problem all along.
So in general, we do not want any kind of silicone injected anywhere in our body, because I think people get that mixed up when they think of, for example, a silicone breast implant.
You're 100% correct. And I'm really very happy how you raised that comparison, because I would like to be very, very explicit. When somebody is getting breast implants, they are getting actually shelled silicone, which is not leaking, which is not compromising your health or anything like that. When they use a free silicone, industrial, for that matter, it can be medical silicone. It's no difference in the chemistry of a silicone, right? Clarity and cleanliness, yes, but not really in the chemistry of it. This is like big no to be injected in you, because think about surface you are exposing and a contact surface of your body. Why? Because these materials are highly reactive, and they actually, you start behaving like you have autoimmune disease. You have all signs of autoimmune disease without the markers for autoimmune disease. Your body is getting very, very exhausted with this. And if anybody is offering you to inject anything in your buttock, it is usually, you know, and it tells you the price, which is usually, I don't know, per syringe, they charge syringes like 50, 60 cc's. They charge you $1,000 or so. Just say no, thank you, because you're going to know that this is that silicone. How do they get the medical silicone? They can't get it because it's controlled supply. But they can go on a lot of websites and buy like a gallon of it for $5 or $10.
Wow. And they'll charge you $1,000 for a syringe.
Yeah, I would pay them three times that amount. Do not touch me.
So you're saying that that price would be a major no-no. What would the normal quote-unquote price be for a typical Botox or any other kind of filler injection?
Well, I don't want to mix this with FDA-approved injections.
Sure.
Lately, some people are offering to inject a Sculptra. Sculptra is FDA-approved, can be used in a face, and some people are thinking it's a good option for augmentation of your behind with the Sculptra. But this is extremely, extremely expensive material, you know. If you want to get rid of a couple of dimples, you know, it's going to cost you much, much more, like $7,000-$10,000 for that. However, if anybody wants to address their behind, this is actually approved procedure, which is called Brazilian butt lift, which we use patient's fat from areas you don't need them, and we put them in areas where you do need them. So it's a nice and safe way of doing it, you know. But this is procedure, and you have to go to sleep for this. But for something like this, please look for somebody who is doing it. Procedure is called Brazilian butt lift, and plastic surgeons are equipped to do that.
Okay. So where in the body are people getting these illegal materials and silicones injected mostly?
Well, history of these illegal injections are really tracing very, very far, and it started in China, believe or not, where 100 years ago, they started to augment breasts with the free silicone. And then it started from a doctor's thinking it's a good option, good idea. And then it showed very quickly that then it's not really a very good idea. It's terrible. It gives you systemic reaction. And some people die on injections, and it faded. But it's not really a good idea to inject it anywhere. As I said, these illegal things, you know, silicone, free silicone should never be injected in any parts of your body. Period. That's what it is. And I'll tell you why. When I say systemic reaction, if I talk to these girls, you know, they come to me when they have a local problem. Local problem means they have a hardness in their behind, color of a skin changes, they have numbness in their extremities, they cannot be standing or sitting for a longer period of time, they get numb, they have to shake it, they cannot be doing any physical activities and stuff like this. And this is what they come for, thinking, I have a problem, I did this, I'm admitting it, can you please help me out? However, if you ask them, some of them going to have a hair loss. Every one of them is very tired in the morning and exhausted, falsely treated for depression. Some of them lost a sense of smell. Some of them have numbness in different parts of body. Lower back pain is very, very often. Some of them actually do experience unable to conceive and have a baby. This is a myriad of problems this can give you.
And is that typically after just one injection, or is that, does that something that happens over time of getting multiple injections?
This is a great question you're asking me, Jamie, because it's all individual. Some people get very ill after minimal amount. Some people don't get that ill after 5 years. Wow. Some people have a symptoms 10 years later. Although they do have some symptoms all along, but they don't have that severe symptoms. They are always assigning it to something else. Oh, I had last week was really tough at work, and I'm just tired. I cannot catch up with my sleep and stuff like this. They're always going to find excuse until they really start getting shortness of a breath. And they say, oh, that's not normal. I'm 40 years old. I get winded just walking one flight of stairs.
Right.
And stuff like this. But, and then sometimes they would never, for the most part, they wouldn't for years connect any problems with their general health. However, since we started getting more and more kind of public awareness of it, which is, I think, still very, very minimal to none, people are kind of a little bit more aware what they can. And some websites are just showing stories of these ladies who had the problems, and people are researching now who have injections. But I think this awareness is not even close where it should be. You know, we only hear occasionally if somebody dies. And I think on every person who dies on a time of injection of these materials, and why people die, because this material goes in the blood vessel straight. Injectors don't know anatomy, even if they know what they can do if they hit the vessel. You know, we just hear occasionally that somebody dies, and then people look into it and, oh my God, and I'm happy and lucky I didn't die. But still not enough in the public that people should not ever do this stuff.
Right, right. Because I feel like also, you and I have also talked about this in the past, that there is still, it's getting better, but there's always been a little bit of a stigma when it comes to getting injections or even getting plastic surgery. So I feel like if we're all just starting to very openly talk about those procedures now, imagine the people who are going off the beaten path to get those injections done and how not vocal they're going to be about it.
You are 100% correct. And I have to tell you, as a physician who dealt with the hundreds of these patients, I have to tell you one thing. All these people are blaming themselves. They're actually so hard on themselves that they did something like this. And I always tell them, you are not only one who's guilty in this part. And don't. This is what happened. People know that cigarette kills people, right? But they still go and buy it.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It was just a probably moment of a weakness in your part and, you know, quick fix. We live in society. We live very fast lives. And who has a time for everything? And you know, if I have another 24 hours per day, I would still do more, you know, things and fill them in. What I'm trying to say is, first thing I really tell them, stop blaming yourself, because you're just a victim over here. And these people don't want to be perceived as a stupid, because, and they're not stupid. They're just a victim of their naivete and trusting people, you know, trusting. Originally, I'm going to talk about 15 years ago, probably people who were injecting this, they had these materials in themselves too. They didn't know how toxic and terrible this might be. But at this point, they know how terrible this is, but they're still doing it. Now, I think these people are criminals and they have to be jailed. they know I may kill you with this, but I'm still going to do it to make a quick buck. Oh, you are criminal. And I have to tell you, if we make public aware of all this, and if more people know about this problem, and this is what I'm really trying to do today, and I hope a lot of people are listening, because if you can tell one person who is having intention to do it, don't do it, you saved one life.
Right.
If we make awareness a little bit higher, then we're going to really identify criminals quicker, and then I think we're going to lessen the number of it.
Here's a question for you. You're not an attorney, but maybe some people, when they find out they received an illegal injection from somebody who's not qualified, or anybody really, they don't want to turn that person in because they feel like they are part of that crime. Can somebody get in trouble, per se, if they were to report to the police that they went to receive an illegal injection?
I'm not a lawyer, as you know, but I think no, because this is a very funny thing what I'm going to say now, but this is really how it works. Very often, I mean, injectors, they know at this point that they're doing an illegal thing. Right. And how do I know this? Because you cannot call them back for more. You wait that they call you back. They have a burner's phone.
Oh.
Okay. For the most part, people don't, you know, patients should not feel part. How would they know? Is this legal or illegal?
Right.
They have no idea. Mm-hmm. They are customers of that, let's say, whatever, like esthetician's parlor, and then they go there for facials. And they think, yeah, she has a license for facials. We don't really go into detail. Oh, are you licensed to do this too?
Right. You would just trust that person.
Yeah, you trust this person. And I don't think they would be ever faulted for this. But what stops them from doing it, because they feel personally they are part of it. They accepted it.
Right.
And they feel personally guilty. They blame themselves. You know, and this is like typical, like, oh, that's partially my fault. I understand. But how would you know at this point? And I encourage these people to just help themselves. Go do your labs. Find out what's wrong. Find out how we retrieve it. It's much easier to retrieve these materials if your entire behind didn't die. Because patients come to me, sometimes everything is like black as a tar. Oh my goodness. You have no option than cut it out. And a lot of doctors don't even do it because they don't really want to get into it. What's after? How do I reconstruct these people? And people are unhappy. Think about aesthetic view of a person who did it. Obviously, she did it because she wasn't happy with part of a body. She wants to make it better. Now you're coming to me and I'm going to destroy it all because it's already dead. And then, do you want to be that person who's going to be like bringing unhappiness for life to that another human being?
Right.
We are human beings too.
Right.
And we think about patients in a whole, as their well-being, as their mental statuses and everything. And whole life we are trained to make something to look better. As a plastic surgeon, you know, even when I do a reconstructing case and bringing somebody's, you know, I'm trying that breast I'm reconstructing after cancer looks so almost same like a healthy one. If I can do same, I would do same. With any part of the body is the same. And think about if now you made mistake, lapse of a judgment, you actually bringing for yourself unhappiness for life. That's tough. And it's tough decisions. I had a girl who was 26 years old. I had a girl 26 years old who came to me. She looked horrible. And to cover the discoloration, she was just putting more and more tattoos over it. And it was a hard as a rock. And I said, dear, you have to remove all this. And she had all symptoms. She said, how am I going to look? I said, not pretty, because when all this is cut out, it's not going to give you pretty look. And I said, we may reconstruct it afterwards to a certain extent. She said, I would rather die. And it hit me like how far it can go. Having said that, the best treatment for all this is just to prevent it. Don't do it.
We've been saying sometimes you feel like you did the right research and you're with the right person. Are there specific things we should be looking for? It's hard to look for the things that they're trying to cover up.
100%.
But what are the things that are out there that are visible that somebody should be keyed into to find the right person to be doing this?
This is the right person to do silicone injection doesn't exist because right. this is illegal. We don't do that. What I want to say is a good question to ask. What if I don't like it? What happens? How do I remove it? If they tell you it's permanent, don't do anything permanent. This may be something which is going to tell you, uh-oh, I shouldn't be doing.
And I remember from our Botox 101 chat, that's what you said. If it's something that you're not pleased with, it's not permanent and
it's going
to
go away.
Deal with it. Right.
You should never start with anything permanent.
That's
because
enough.
You know this is something which you shouldn't be doing.
Big warning sign. Unless the person is lying.
All of them are lying.
They're all lying.
They say, oh, don't worry. Nothing happens.
You're fine.
Nothing happens. I have to say something. I did have a patient in the past, a registered nurse, extremely smart girl, lapse of judgment in a moment, and somebody tricked her into doing it, and then she did have a lot of procedures to remove it. And she said she started the blog being a nurse and trying to help other people don't do it. She put her personal phone number for them if they have any questions, and she actually went out with her story, which I think it was really very generous and very nice of somebody. But being a nurse, you know, I think that's what she chose for living.
To help people, sure.
Exactly. Believe or not, she put her cell phone number for people to call, and one girl called her to ask who was her injector. Then she said, didn't you read anything I said? She said, yeah, but it doesn't happen to everybody. I'm just trying to say, if it's a will, there is a way for that. You just have to be smart enough. You may ruin your body for entire life. Not just how you look, your health.
I mean, that person who called her obviously truly believed in this person that she's going to.
100%. And then she truly believed in like, oh, don't worry, it doesn't happen to everybody. She was shocked. And she was trying to talk this person out of it, but I think she stopped responding to her or something. I'm just trying to say, people going to find ways. Doesn't matter what I say today, whatever we discuss, Jamie, whatever science shows, you're going to still find people who want to do this. And I have to tell you, those are dozens of people who were criminally tried for this, usually after somebody died under their injections. But I don't think it's awareness of it. I think we are discussing a lot of things, but we should discuss this as we are discussing cigarette smoking or some illicit drugs. I actually wrote a paper 2 years ago, and believe it or not, I had the difficulties publishing it because producers of silicone implants were thinking people may misinterpret it. The problem is we shouldn't be talking about industry. We shouldn't be talking about anything. We should be talking about health of every individual person. Why is this important? One person who does it, it's not just one patient. This is somebody's mother, somebody's sister, somebody's wife probably, or wife-to-be. If one person's health is damaged, we have another 4 people who are suffering with that, like family members.
Right.
Who are suffering because they are supporting. They don't know what's going on. They don't know how to help. And it is a lot of damage. Society. And I tell people who are crying in my office, I didn't have a single person who didn't cry when they came first time to me. And I told them, you shouldn't. You should be actually very happy because you have a chance to talk to me. Guess what? You didn't die on injections.
Wow. And that's the bright side, though. This is serious stuff.
Yeah, that's a serious, serious stuff. That's why I want to talk about this, and I think it's not enough awareness, and I hope everybody who's listening can at least tell another person, don't do it.
So you mentioned this nurse you were talking about before who did go through, you said, a number of procedures.
To remove it.
There are procedures that can remove the illegal substances.
Correct. Procedure, unfortunately, since this issue, I would say, hasn't been treated by plastic surgeons for a long time. Some people think option is liposuction. Liposuction is never option for this because as you wouldn't liposuction a tumor or infection, you wouldn't liposuction this. Reason for this is you don't want to spread these materials in more surfaces because these materials get very encapsulated. Your body tried to make a shelf about this and it makes a shelf which is hard. When you are suctioning, you're actually suctioning good tissue around this, not one you're supposed to. And if you break these granulomas, you're just going to spread it and make smaller ones, harder for patient to deal with and for surgeon afterwards to remove it. Option for this is usually we need an MRI to really assess the depth and what's really involved. Does the patient have it in a muscle or not? And then I usually show my patient's MRI picture and we discuss it where patient has it or not. You have to go in. You have to cut it out. It's not pleasant surgery. Usually, you know, you have to go twice there and patient needs monitor bed for this. They lose some blood and stuff. Eventually, you go back. Eventually, you put fat there and camouflage these scars and make it look nicer. And some people have beautiful outcomes. Some people, not so much. It depends in what stage, how their body reacted to it, and how much damage has been already done.
It will certainly help your health.
100%.
Yeah, getting it 100%. Removed. But you might still not
have desirable look, yeah. For sure. We removed about 80 to 90% of materials. I always tell patients, I cannot remove 100% because I don't know it's possible. As I said, this is the first part of the procedure is you remove it. You do partial reconstruction on them. When I say partial reconstruction, you kind of close the wounds and make them live their lives. You need usually 3 to 6 months, in some cases a little bit longer, till your scars get softer inside. Because scar is not only what we see outside. Our tissues are scarring. Whatever you touch, it creates some sort of a scar. When tissues get soft, I go and do liposuction of other parts of body, retrieve some fat, and populate this area, which is already damaged by me. I would say first with the materials, then I went to remove it, and then I populate fat in there. Some people need more than one time to repeat that procedure, fat transfer, but most of the patients have a decent look afterwards.
So now that we've scared everyone, I'd like to allow people to know if they want the right, the proper, the legal injections.
Right.
Where should they be looking for those?
They should be looking at the plastic surgical offices and plastic surgeons who are doing procedure, which is called Brazilian butt lift. And this is technically transferring fat from other parts of your body and putting it to just achieve a shape you desire or size you desire, safe and sound, which can be done by people who are trained to do that.
Plastic surgeons are the people you should be talking to, period.
Correct.
End of story when it comes to
Correct.
Something like this.
Correct. Don't go to cosmetic surgeons because cosmetic surgeons are not necessarily plastic surgeons. Some cosmetic surgeons are ENT doctors. Some of them are eye doctors. Some of them, not even surgeons. But they somehow take a courses and do advertise themselves as a cosmetic surgeon. When I say plastic surgeon is trained to do these procedures. But some plastic surgeons are going to also call themselves cosmetic surgeons. But the good question to ask that person is, can you perform this procedure on me in a hospital? And the reason for that question is, we can get privileges in hospitals or day op centers based on our training and number of cases we performed. If I cannot get the privileges for certain procedure in a hospital, this means I don't have enough training. A lot of plastic surgeons, cosmetic surgeons, they have their own operating room, which is just fine. It makes it easier for us to work that way. But if I'm not able to perform that same procedure in a hospital, don't come to me. Find somebody who can. This is a sign that the doctor is a trained and patient is going to be safe. And I have to tell you, our American Society of Plastic Surgeons used to instruct patients, ask your doctor, is he board certified? And then we changed that policy because if I'm asking an ENT doctor, with all respect to ENT colleagues, you know, and
sure.
I'm sure they can be great surgeons for the areas they are trained, he's not lying to you saying, yes, I'm board certified.
A board certified ENT.
Exactly. But, and then we switch actually, you have to ask a doctor, can you perform this in hospital or some other institution? Reason for this is, if I'm not trained enough, I'm not going to get my privileges there.
Right.
I have to show training before I get privileges. If I'm doing liposuction, let's say in my office, and my patient has complication, I have to transfer a patient to the hospital. But if I don't have admitting privileges to that hospital, what happens to patient? This is exactly where a problem starts.
So if you've never started this process and you're going to start with a plastic surgeon.
Dr. Tanovich, thank you so much again for opening up our eyes to such an important subject.
Thank you very much.
I'm Jamie Morris. This has been Talking with Dr. Tanovich on the new 104.7 WHLI.